Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action for Mark Bulger. Firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection.
On 1080 The Fan.
That's right, 1080 The Fan. Portland sports leader Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hera. He'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be gone. I'm sorry. I know.
Everybody's back falling, to your day job.
Everybody's falling in love. Back to my day job. People asking if we can hold out in this job.
Yeah, no.
Listen, you can hold out in any job you're irreplaceable. If you believe that you're irreplaceable, the thing about professional athletes, and we're talking about just the idea of the NFL needs to figure out a way to solve these holdouts because it's making it hard on the fans. The reason that NFL players can hold out is there's so few people and there's such a small window where these guys are elite athletes. Ezekiel Elliott may have a 15-year NFL career, but that is extremely rare, especially at that position. He's looking at it going, listen, I got 5 years where I can go out and dominate this league and I need to get paid for them right now. Yeah. So it makes it really, really difficult to kind of figure it out. So when we compare And on the text line, there's a lot of really good thoughts, so I don't want to say that. Yeah. But when you compare your day job or an office setting to the NFL, to professional sports, it doesn't compute. It's apples to oranges, and it just doesn't make sense.
It's a really tough mindset to get to, because I know, because you want to think of every day, is you want to look at these guys and go, oh, they're just like me. Well, they're not, because there's 2,100 NFL players, maybe 22.
Yep.
There's only 32 starters in the NFL that are running backs. And out of that starters, there's only about 10 that are good. And there's only about 6 in the world.
Yeah.
We're talking 7-8 billion people. There's only 6 in the world that are like Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
If you just extrapolate that down, now you know why he's worth it. And this guy says, the text, which I can appreciate this. My company's doing very well. I signed a contract to work for them. I can't go back and say, because you're doing great, I need more money. They would laugh. Well, you're not one of 6 in the world.
Well, and you could go back and renegotiate that contract.
You could, but they could probably say that, okay, you're fired. Or they could say, we'll find somebody because you are replaceable.
But if you have an argument that you're outperforming that contract.
Yes.
If you sign that contract, here are the expectations, and you have those clear with it, and you're doubling or tripling what those expectations are, you'd sit back and go, man, I'm killing this.
And then it's true. And then P1 Dustin's got kind of how I've always felt in my mindset. I'll agree with players need to honor their contracts when owners and the league honor contracts.
Yeah. Well, it's always funny. There's a cell phone.
Owners don't honor contracts.
Yeah. Well, there's a cell phone commercial, and I can't remember what the carrier is, but, you know, the woman sitting on the park bench, and she's like, guys, listen, I'm getting this deal for life. It's unbelievable. And then her friend's like, oh, my God, that's amazing. They can't do that, can they? And then she goes, yeah, and guess what? There's no contract. And her friend's like, what? No contract? It's like, okay. So what you're telling me is somebody just guaranteed you something for life and you don't have it in writing?
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me there's no contract?
Let me know how that works for
you. They don't have a contract. You don't have a contract. The contract is for both sides.
Contracts are fallacies.
Well, yeah, but
they're lies. All of them are lies. Especially if we're talking football here,
they're in agreement. They go, let's get this in writing. You're telling me one thing, and I'm expecting one thing from you, and I'm telling you that I'm going to go out and play whatever it is. The contract is so that you have a written agreement between two sides. If you don't have a contract, you don't have an agreement.
Yeah.
That's how it works legally. So it's like, oh my God, I've got it for life. I've got this deal. It's amazing. with no contract. So when you go, hey, you told me that I had that. Okay, where's the contract? Prove it. That's why you write contracts. To me, it's just, yeah, it's just silly. So anyways, we'll get back into this topic. I want to know what the league would look like without salary caps. You think it would be great. Somebody brought that up on the Better You Today.
I don't have any problems with it. What really does that matter? If you want to be the Yankees and overspend for a bunch of players, overspend.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, there's only 1%, 0.00000% of these guys.
Yeah.
You can be a really bad organization and pay for crap. You can be really bad.
Yeah. Well, so we'll talk about that at 8:15. Yeah. But right now, it's time to get to Hot and Cool.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and Cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Chris Sale is now the fastest pitcher in Major League Baseball history to get to 2,000 strikeouts. He passes a guy named Pedro.
Who would you rather face? Chris Sale or Pedro?
I'd probably rather face Chris Sale.
Really?
Yeah, Pedro Martinez had an intimidation factor.
Boy,
Randy Johnson is the last guy that I would want to face. I think as a righty,
I don't mind facing a lefty.
Yeah.
But boy, that ball that Pedro Martinez threw, that thing tailing in on you and coming at you, that thing is nasty the way he had coming at you.
Yeah.
As a lefty, you know, he's just coming. He's way out. Now, if I was a lefty facing Chris Sale, I don't want any part of it, just like Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
Remember John Kruk in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
It's like, see ya.
Randy Johnson is the lefty that you want. Well, yeah. He's 6'10".
I know.
I mean, he's a giant
throwing 100 miles an hour right at your dome.
That bird exploding off of Randy Johnson's pitch. Yeah. That was crazy. But yeah, Pedro was one of those guys that just had that nasty look on him. Chris Sale would just make you look stupid. I think Pedro would make me pee a little. All right, so we stay in baseball for this one. It is a story out of Boston, and it's loading. Rafael Devers had a 6-hit, 4-double game. First time in Major League history. Did that Tuesday night. In the modern era of baseball, no player has ever recorded 6 hits and 4 doubles in a game. Just another little baseball nugget for you there.
Wait a minute. He's got 4 doubles?
Four doubles.
In one game? He went 6-for-6 in one game?
And 4 doubles. No. That's a pretty nice.
Why do you keep pitching to him?
People have had 6-hit games. People have had 4-double games, but no one's had a 6-hit, 4-double game.
It is fantastic that baseball brings us those stats.
I love those just crazy stats.
Absolutely. So, let's... All righty, going to the NFL. I don't know that this is necessarily your dose of positivity, but every day we seem to getting more and more information about Andrew Luck's injury without actually getting any information about Andrew Luck's injury. So originally it was a calf strain, then it turned into a bone issue.
Which I have a huge problem with Jim Irsay, the owner, coming out on a podcast and saying it's a bone issue.
Yeah.
You know how dumb that sounds when an owner starts discussing not only the anatomy of your star quarterback and talking about a foot? What are you doing?
Yeah. So it is a bone issue. And then this morning, the general manager comes out, and now it is a high ankle issue. We don't know if it's a high ankle sprain. It's a problem with his high ankle. Maybe a bone issue. Not sure what the bone issue is.
So it really comes down to this. It's something wrong with his foot.
The question comes.
It's a spur. That's really what it's a bone spur. That's what they're trying to tell it is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
High ankle
bone spur.
It's not foot.
Something to do with it's causing a lot of soft tissue irritation.
The question is, what are the chances that we end up seeing Andrew Luck for week one?
I think he plays this year. I think he's just going to have to deal with a lot of pain.
Yeah, well, and you wonder if it's going to be anytime soon.
My ankles are awful.
Yeah, and, you know, I got Jacoby Brissett there, I guess, ready to go if he's not. So we'll see if he's ready for week one. Ice cold. All right, so here is my foreshadowing. I mentioned this earlier. I just love this story. Last night, the Dodgers and the Yankees both hit 80 games on the same night for the first time since they met in the World Series in 1953. If you could have that matchup right now, Yankees Dodgers World Series, you a happy guy?
Yeah, I would take that.
Yeah.
That'd be good. That's big brands. West Very Coast big versus brands. East Coast.
Would that be three straight for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they going to win one?
Not with their analytics right now.
Not the way that it
looks. No. They got to be allowed at this time. Eventually, the Dodgers got to go, can we just play baseball and not go pitch counts and making sure all this other crap? Just get to the point where you just play baseball in the World Series.
Well, they got Rich Hill back, and they're putting him in the bullpen. How would you like to have Rich Hill as a starting pitcher on any other team in baseball? I mean, they just have such a wealth of players. And you just look at it and go, oh, God, the Dodgers. They're just putting him in the bullpen. Yeah, we got one of the best starters in baseball.
Not bad.
We'll just throw him in there. All right, there's your hot and cool. A little positivity for you in the morning. Some fun baseball stories there. But we want to get into the NFL. I want to talk more about Andrew Luck. We also have to talk about how Antonio Brown described what's going on with his feet on Hard Knocks last night. We've got some audio for you there. So we'll play that next. Get more into Andrew Luck. It's NFL right here on Dusty and Cam in the Morning. This is the 1080, the Fan. Welcome back. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hera. He'll be back tomorrow if you miss him. I assume everybody misses him. He's down at Disneyland with the family. Need to get a little break in before football season starts. We are 17 days away.
One more vacation from, stop.
Yep. 17 days away from Oregon versus Auburn.
It's the only 17 days.
17 days.
Well, that's gonna show up real quick.
Yes, it is. I mean, as you get into next week, I mean, it's going to be more stories coming out of camp. Right now, you're just seeing a little bit of information trickling out, mm-hmm. who's performing well, who's moving in the starting spots. But you're going to start getting really an idea of what this
depth
team
charts.
Is.
Yeah. Your starters. Two deep start showing up.
Yeah. Getting pumped for football.
Get a little bit.
The big curiosity, Andrew Luck, this thing has me extremely confused. I want to just kind of read you a little bit from the article that I was reading this morning on ESPN. And this doesn't sound good to me. So we had the shoulder injury that kept Andrew Luck out for, mm-hmm. 18 months it felt like. And now you've got Chris Ballard coming out this morning. So we had Jim Irsay in the middle of the show yesterday came out and said that it was a bone issue with
right,
his leg.
Right, he did it on a podcast.
Yeah, originally it was diagnosed as a calf strain. But right now, this is a quote from Chris Ballard. He says, "We're 3.5 weeks away from the regular season. I'm not ready to say Luck will be ready to whether Luck will be able to play mm-hmm. against the Chargers." That's not good. So tests were done on Luck Monday night, revealed the quarterback has gone from dealing with a calf strain, which he originally was diagnosed with in March, to currently having pain in the high ankle-ish area of his left leg.
Yeah.
From the start, we've been dealing with a calf injury, Ballard said, in March through training camp, dealing with the calf, and then a little area below his calf, which Andrew kind of referred to as his lower leg, where he was dealing with some pain almost in the ankle area. The injury wasn't getting better, and he hadn't been practicing. So in the course of dealing with the calf injury, it appears that now he has an ankle issue.
Yes. So the description that I've heard in multiple different explanations is that he has what's called the soft tissue. Well, he has a bone spur in the ankle.
Okay.
So when there's a bone spur in the ankle, it's not like it's debilitating, but what it does is every time your ankle bends or moves, it jabs into it. To somebody that I had what's called Haglund's deformity. Larry yep. Bird and I had the same injuries. It's called Haglund's deformity. It's where bone spurs develop on the back of your heel. Well, he ended up dealing with two Achilles tendons and then had ruptures Achilles. I had the exact same injury. I mean, yep. to the T. I had Haglund's deformities on both back heels, which caused my Achilles to end up fraying and rupture over time. Ugh. This is not in his Achilles, but that bone spur, every time you bend your ankle, it digs into the soft tissue.
Okay.
It's extremely painful.
Yeah, but soft and tissue Andrew, better than a tendon.
It's much better than a tendon, and the only way to really fix it is to go in and shave down and remove the bone spur. Well, if you do that, you're out a couple months.
Yeah.
Just to even do that. So this is a pain issue. And they're going to try to do everything they can to get him to the season and then see if they can manage it during the season. If it gets to the point where he can't handle it, they'll just cut on him in the middle of the season and yeah. they'll call it quits. And I feel bad for Andrew Luck because you said it too when we were talking about the break. The dude took a ton of hits.
Yeah.
And he got physically abused in his early part of his career. And now you're seeing it. As physically dominating he is a specimen. He's 250 pounds. He is shredded, strong, but just couldn't take all those hits.
Yeah. And
some guys' bodies are just built for it.
Well,
they can handle it more.
Yeah, and he has a Cam Newton frame on him. I mean, when you look at the comparisons in the size between those two guys, but you're seeing them both break down because you can take a hit, means you can take a couple hits, mm-hmm. which means you can hold on to the ball a little bit longer. You know, one of the criticisms of Andrew Luck early on was he was a home run hitter. And in the NFL, you need to be able to get rid of the ball and wait for the defense to give you those big plays versus going out and try to make them. So he has to kind of understand that. One of the questions I have, and you played in the league, so I think you have a better idea of this, and you call it a 100% injury sport, right? Everybody's going to get hurt at some point. Everybody's playing at less than 100%. But if you can have Andrew Luck at 60% out there playing, is it better than having Jacoby Brissett out there at 100% or at 80% or whatever, you know, the ability that you're playing?
Strange as this sounds, I don't believe in percentages.
Okay.
In sports. You either can play or you can't play. So if you can go out and suit up and play, then you're 100%.
Okay.
That's your ability to play on that day. There's no such thing, because nobody walks into an NFL season or in week 12 and goes, oh, I feel 100% today. No, you don't. You can either play or you can't play. Is Andrew Luck out there? Are they a better team with Andrew Luck on the field? 100%, yes. That's a percentage I will use.
I was going to say, there's your
That's my percentage that I will tell you. Jacoby Brissett is, I can't sit there and tell you that you can evaluate him at this point and say he's on the level of Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
But the thing is that Frank Reich is now going to bring in a system that they can probably build around him and make him a little more successful. It is the same style as what the Philadelphia Eagles runs, and they're going to have the ability to have a lot more three-step, a little bit more play action to get the ball out of his hands and not get him on the perimeter too much.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia's got to go through the same thing with Carson Wentz. If they're going to get him through a season, which he's never finished, they're going to have to find ways to get the ball out of their hands. Watch the best quarterbacks in this league. If they don't get the ball out of their hands within 2 seconds, that's a system issue, or it's a offensive line breakdown. Well, we knew the offensive line was bad when Indy was there. It's not bad anymore. It's an excellent offensive line. So they're going to have to figure that out. And that's why those head coaches are paid that kind of money, because they understand we have to protect our quarterbacks because they're worth $30 million now.
So
we can't have them taking hits.
So you see a guy hobbling out there. I picture Aaron Rodgers is the one that kind of jumps into my mind with that calf injury where he's just kind of out there hobbling around.
Mm-hmm.
Always better to have the guy, because it's not just the physical tools that Andrew Luck has. It's also the decision making. It's the ability to lead the offense. So you're saying if the guy can get out there 100%, he's ready to play.
Dan Marino ruptured his Achilles tendon and played another 9 seasons with a stretched Achilles tendon and a special boot. They designed a shoe for him because when they repaired his Achilles, it was not is they didn't allow the flexion anymore. So if you ask Dan, he can't even move his foot, but he wore a special shoe that elevated his boot. And Dan Marino was fast. He could get out on the perimeter and was young. He blew his, and then he stood in the pocket and he became that type of athlete and adapted his game. Andrew Luck is big, strong, and physical. Well, big, strong, and physical on the sideline with a bone spur doesn't help his team.
Yeah.
Get rid of the football.
Yeah.
And be that type of guy. And I think he can.
Yeah.
But can he deal with the pain? Well, all those guys are dealing with it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dealing with pain, Antonio Brown. He's got the issue with his feet.
Yeah. Did you see that last night? Did you any of you guys watch it?
I didn't watch it, but
I didn't get a chance to watch it yet.
I saw the clip this morning, and I would like for you to listen to how he describes what's going on with his feet right now.
Yeah, my feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right? All right.
Yeah,
for
like,
real.
Like circulation?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. With the new skin. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pullback right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, circumstances on my feet, you know. Hopefully my feet born again and I freaking can run faster. Feel sorry for me later. Thank you.
I'm confused by that because circumcision is removing skin and then exposing an area that's already okay. This is removing skin on your feet to what?
His feet are being reborn. And he hopes that he can be fast.
Dude, this guy is out there.
Yeah, HBO Hard Knocks last night. That's Antonio Brown describing what's going on. That
Did they show his feet? Did he actually show his feet?
Yeah, he pulls off
the current feet or when they were injured?
Current.
Yeah, so he pulls off his socks. So there's two clips there. There's one where he's kind of running around. He's talking with producer or cameraman or whoever is filming that. And there's another one where he's kind of sitting down in an interview setting and he pulls off his socks. He's like, you really want to see him? And he pulls it off and you can kind of see what's going on. But he makes the comment. I don't know if you heard it in there, but he makes the comment. It looks like you're walking a little differently. He goes, yeah, my feet are being circumcised. Yeah.
So what happened is he did a cryotherapy and he didn't have the proper protection on.
Yep.
And he had massive...
Massive frostbite. But you're losing digits. But yeah, he had frostbite on his feet.
He had serious frostbite. And so didn't he say that they had to take scissors to it and cut it and drain it?
Yeah.
Really giant blisters.
Yeah. And he's basically regrowing the skin on the bottoms of his
feet. This guy is a mess. What a mess.
But
what an absolute distractive mess.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you can have it with a sense of humor, it doesn't sound like it's going to be something that affected. Because when you saw the original pictures of that.
I just don't know if it's worth it.
Well, here's my question about Antonio Brown is do you expect him to have the same kind of production in Oakland that he had in Pittsburgh?
If he's healthy, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think Derek Carr is the same kind of quarterback that Ben Roethlisberger was?
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is a very good quarterback, but I don't look at Ben Roethlisberger and go, it's at his age, he's not an elite thrower as he used to be.
Yeah, but I
never considered Ben Roethlisberger, big arm, but I didn't consider him the kind of arm talent like an Aaron Rodgers or even that. He is a big arm, big guy that can make plays. Yeah. AB is just a playmaker.
Yep.
He will make you look really good as a quarterback.
Yeah, but Ben Roethlisberger has a history of making wide receivers look really good. Remember how good Mike Wallace was in Pittsburgh and how good he was not when he left.
But it's also a division that is a black and blue division that plays in a lot of cold, brutal weather, and that's kind of what that system is. Ben is a good quarterback, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
No discredit to it, but AB is elite.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have that kind of guy. You can just throw him in a perimeter and he will make the catch.
It's fair.
And he's going to find a way to make a catch.
And he's also played on the opposite side of some really good receivers or maybe just guys that Ben has made look good. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
He made Plaxico look like a Hall of Famer when he was there. Martavis Bryant. I mean, he's made the guys that have been there have looked incredible and a lot of them have fallen off the map. I don't expect that from Antonio Brown, but I would be surprised if he had the same kind of production. And, you know, maybe blame the offseason and where he's at with his head, but I don't expect him to be as good.
I will take, if we're talking about quarterbacks, and I will take accuracy over arm talent all day long.
Yeah.
But if you become the best of both, because there's a lot of guys with big arms.
Yeah.
Tons of guys have cannon arms.
Jeff George maybe have the best arm.
There's a lot of elite arms out there. But then there's guys like, I don't know, little dudes that can make throws.
Yeah.
There's Ryan Fitzpatrick's. There's Doug Flutie's. There's guys that can find ways.
Go little guys that can make throws and you didn't go Drew Brees number one?
I mean, Drew Brees doesn't have an elite arm.
No, that's exactly right.
But he has arm talent.
Yeah.
So don't get caught up in a big arm, big talent, big guys.
Yeah.
All these guys. Oh, it looks really good. But you got to have accuracy. You got to have elite arm talent.
Yeah. Well.
And then you have the combination of both. And then you're looking at, oh boy, then that's scary.
Yeah.
Then you're looking at what Kansas City has, and that's a pretty good setup.
Yeah, that's not too bad if you can take it. I'm not sure where we're going next. I want to kind of get back into the CBA talk that we were having. Let's talk salary cap, NFL salary cap. Let's do it a little earlier than planned, but let's get back into the idea of what would the NFL look like if you got rid of the salary cap? Would it become haves and have-nots if you were able to pay whatever money you wanted? Would the Cowboys buy all the talent? And everybody else be left in the dust. We'll do that next. First, here's Buck with your SportsCenter update. Welcome back in. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hara. He'll be back tomorrow. Today, the conversation we got into earlier, I kind of want to reconnect with. We were talking about the holdouts, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott trying to get his big contract. And we kind of got into the topic of the salary cap in the NFL. So 2021 will be the CBA negotiations, and I'm sure it won't go this direction.
Yeah.
But let's play a little what if. What if the NFL went to a no salary cap league and you could pay players whatever you wanted? We talked about it, whether 2,100 players in the NFL, right? There's only so many guys, six or seven guys at each position that really hit that elite status. Would the NFL become a league of haves and have-nots? You've been there firsthand. You've seen the difference in talent between the best and the worst guys in the NFL. Would it be something that would be beneficial?
So let me try to convince you of why I think even a non-capped NFL would not change. Okay. It would create the same, if not even more, parity. The only reason why the NFL works so well is because we've been sold this, as fans now even more, is that because teams can't hold on to their talent, that free agency has created this ability for teams to move and shift, and so you get the type of players and athletes. Let me give you an example of Ndamukong Suh. Unbelievable dominant talent at Detroit. He got $68 million, left to go to Miami, was a quality player, mm-hmm. and then went to the Rams, and he's got passed by Aaron Donald because Aaron Donald's, if not the best defender in all of sports right now when it comes to the NFL.
Players voted him the best football player in the NFL.
Did that change the franchise with a free agent signing like Ndamukong Suh? No. I will always argue this, and I feel that trades are more influential in the NFL than free agencies.
Yeah.
Because trades sometimes happen and they just, it becomes part of your franchise more. And I think that free agency usually means that there's a lot of overpaying. So when you get to that point now, is that this league is 100% injuries. You're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And about 6 to 8 players on every roster of 53 are always going to be your superstars. Whether you pay them an extra $20, $30, or $100 million, that's never going to change. Egos, contracts, the psychology of the football, of the locker room at 53-man roster is never going to change depending on how much money you pay them. So this fallacy that we tend to believe that, oh, wait a minute, the salary cap makes it more motivational and it spreads out talent. Well, why has Cincinnati consistently always been that? Why does Arizona, why do bad franchise consistently bad franchises?
Bad leadership.
Bad leadership. Does that have anything to do with the salary cap?
Nope.
Because they're given the same parameters.
Yeah.
Given the same amount of money. Why was Cleveland so bad for so long?
Well, they're still bad. They haven't won the 10 games that people were forecasting this year.
So if you gave Cleveland an uncapped ability,
yeah,
would you still want to go to Cleveland with that bad leadership?
Yeah. I mean, well, look at Dan Snyder in Washington has all the money in the world.
All the money in the world.
And he's overpaid consistently, but they can't win in Washington.
Right. And you look at these other teams and you see it, you go, well, why can't they compete? Will the Dolphins be able to compete? Would Jacksonville be able to compete? Look, there's only 2,100 in the world. You just can't go find, everyone thinks you can just find these just running backs everywhere. You can't find elite anywhere.
Yeah.
So if you want to overpay for them, if you want to do that, you're the Dallas Cowboys right now.
Yep.
You've drafted all their top six talent, other than Amari Cooper, who's been the most influential free agent you've picked up in how long for the Cowboys?
Well, that was a trade.
That was a trade. You just made my point for me. Now you have Jalen Smith. You have Leighton Vander Esch, who arguably they're two best linebackers in the league as a duo. Mm-hmm. You have Dak and you have Zeke. If you could pay those guys and be able to not only set them up for the future, you don't think they'd want to be part of your organization if you could go over the cap to pay for it?
Yeah.
Is that going to change the way the Cowboys, are they going to be the most dominant team in the league with Jerry Jones? Does that guarantee them dominance? Or does it guarantee you get to see your team, you see those guys that you've developed longer for their careers instead of having Dak go somewhere, or Zeke gets traded to Detroit? And is that what you want to see?
Yeah. Well, the curiosity would be, if you look at the two other sports and kind of the issues that are going on, the two other major sports in this country are the NBA and Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has no salary cap.
Yeah.
And the complaint that you have about the way that their player, you know, movement is that you get to a point this season where the bad teams unload their top talent and you have the buyers or sellers point in the season. In the NFL, if you had that point, you would have the better teams picking up that talent and the bottom teams adding more draft picks. Draft picks are far more impactful in the NFL than they are in...
Well, they're everything.
Far more impactful than they are in Major League Baseball.
Way more.
And so I don't think you would end up having the same buyers and sellers mentality that you do because you don't need to reload your farm system. If you have a top pick, you're going to be better. So I don't think you would end up having the same trouble that you have where you have all this late season movement and you wouldn't end up with these big free agency things. You would have, you know, small market teams that spend less money, but I don't think you would have the same disparity you do in baseball. And the problem that you have in the NBA is that the players control – where they go because they're trying to build these super teams. There's no way you're going to get the NFL equivalent of going, we need to get our big three. You may have a big three where you have a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, but if you don't have an offensive line and you're not going to have linemen, you're not going to go out and go, hey, we need to get this. You're still going to have the same thing in the NFL that's so great, which is if you draft well, your team is going to get better. When John Snyder and Pete Carroll came into Seattle, the reason that they went to back-to-back Super Bowls is because they drafted extremely well. And they got lucky. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. They went and spent a ton of money on Matt Flynn. If they had an uncapped season and went, we can go get Matt Flynn, who just set the game record for most passing yards in Packer history. Mm-hmm. That guy was the number one free agent that season. They went and they signed him. He never started a game at quarterback for the Seahawks.
Did you know that the original salary cap was created to give other owners an opportunity to be equal? Mm-hmm. Because a guy like, at certain times, every franchise wanted to have an equal playing field because somebody like Jerry Jones, who had oil money, or RIP Paul Allen, who had all this extra revenue coming in from outside businesses, could overpay for people. So then those owners, like the Brown family in Cincinnati, would go, well, we don't have this extra business.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to be able to pay those guys? Well, guess what? Now all your franchises are worth $2 to $3 billion all the way upwards to $5. Those rules don't apply anymore. And that $47 million or 47% of cap only comes from television revenue.
Yep.
So if I told you I wrote you a check every year for $300 million for the TV share, what each team gets, I wrote you just a, here's your $300 million.
Go.
You do what you want with that $300 million. This percentage is earmarked for the players. $191 million is earmarked for the players. That's all you get to spend on your players. What are you doing with that extra money?
Put it in your pocket.
Put it in your pocket.
Yep.
And putting it on your private jet and putting it into Jerry's World and the big screen and all these other seats for fans, are you making your product better?
Yeah. Well, and what's the calling card of the Patriots? I mean, an unprecedented run in the NFL. Mm-hmm. What's their calling card?
They don't overpay.
They don't overpay players.
No.
I mean, who's their? They had Gronk and they have Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Who's the other superstars on that team? I mean, they'll go out and they'll get a Randy Moss for a year. They'll pick up Corey Dillon off the scrap heap.
Right, they get
Cincinnati.
Him at cheap. They get your veterans at cheap, and they underpay their rookies, and they get rookie contracts, veterans at cheap, and they even underpay Tom Brady because he's willing to do it.
Yeah.
But they're superstars. Because he likes to win. As soon as you try to get an extra contract out of them or get the extra money, what does he do? See you later.
Thanks.
Thanks. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate
you
coming by.
Thank you for what you did for us. Goodbye.
Yeah. I don't know.
It wouldn't change the league at all.
It won't happen.
I know, but it's interesting because of the greed of what the league is.
But wouldn't that make you more money in the long run? You don't have to worry about player holdouts. You don't have to worry about pay the guys what you want to pay them. You don't even have to really change the contract structure that you have. Just going, hey, the guys that earn, you go out and earn it and you'll get paid.
Yeah, guaranteed contracts and uncapped would just mean that owners are willing to pay more and they don't want to.
Well, but we're not even talking about guaranteed contracts.
Oh, I know.
Because if you went uncapped, you still wouldn't have to go guaranteed contracts. All you could do is incentivize players to be great. Instead of going, get everything that you can now, you would think you would have more stability with players staying where they are. And I'm sure there's some elements that we're missing in there. But yeah, to me, I don't think it changes it. I completely agree with you. I think that you would go out and you would have guys like Jerry Jones overspend for the wrong guys. Uh-huh. We know Daniel Snyder.
Bad leadership is bad leadership, whether you got a big bank account and a lot of zeros or you got negative.
Yep.
You're bad leader. And that's not going to change. There's only 32 guys in the world that own teams, and out of that 32, how many are really, really good at it?
And how many years do we see a third round, a fourth round, a sixth round pick become a star in that league?
What's your average window? Don't take the Patriots out because that exceptions don't prove rules. What's your average window of time in the NFL where you can be a really good team?
Average 3 years.
If you think 3 years, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
And you know what else works in the NFL too? 8-8.
Yeah.
8-8 in the NBA doesn't win you a championship. Certainly you can't. 500 doesn't win a championship in the NBA. 500 does not win championship in Major League Baseball. But you can be 9-7 and be the New York Football Giants and get in and win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the other part of what the NFL does for you. It gives you a chance.
Well, and what's the other element you've been bringing up throughout the show is the NFL is a 100% injury league. Yeah. Everybody's going to get hurt at some point.
Yep.
You want to pay Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, $50 million?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't put a force field around him.
Yep.
Andrew Luck. What would you pay Andrew Luck if you had Andrew Luck right now?
Sure.
He may not play week one. He may not play this season. I mean, we've seen him miss a season before. Sure. So there's no guarantee that those guys stay healthy just by being able to pay him more money. The market will set itself. And if you pay for the best players, it doesn't mean they're healthy at the end of the year.
Right.
Doesn't guarantee championships. We see that in baseball. Mm-hmm. Yankees don't win every year.
Not
they
every
win
year.
A lot. But they don't.
But they not every year.
Well, Dodgers.
Houston Astros. Hey, I mean, look at that. Dodgers.
Dodgers are paying a lot of money. They still don't have their World Series.
Exactly.
All right. We need to get off the rails. There are some odd tattoos in sports. What sports tattoo would you get? Cam, Ryan, think about it. We'll answer those next. This is Dusty and Cam on the 1080 The Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
Fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hera. Dusty and Cam back together, reunited tomorrow. We were talking about Lonzo Ball's arm sleeve yesterday
Bit.
It's,
portraits.
Portraits. You've have
Who are
got,
the three? He's got Barack Obama.
It's top to bottom. It is MLK on his shoulder, then on his bicep, it's Malcolm X, and then on his forearm, Barack Obama.
Do you guys know, or maybe somebody can help us out on the Better You Today text line, what does an arm sleeve cost top to bottom?
Well, and
good
that,
artwork.
And that
I
is
am
really
so curious.
Done,
yeah.
Really done well. I cannot imagine being
I don't have a dollar amount in any mindset of what that would cost to do a full sleeve of that kind of artwork or to that ability.
Yeah. And that
or
is,
the time.
Sure. But that is a very talented artist that's doing that. Yeah. I'm sure he's in high demand because it is really well done. And then we had a story, a NASCAR story, a driver named Bubba Wallace. I don't know who this person is, but
Bubba, of course his name is Bubba.
Great NASCAR name though, isn't it?
It's a fantastic NASCAR name. Yeah, just picture Bubba Wallace. But he got a tattoo of Richard Petty's signature on the back of his leg, apparently as part of some bet. But that led us to kind of the off the rails topic today is if you had to get a sports tattoo, what would it be? You played for three NFL teams. Mm. You've always said that you're a bigger college football fan.
Yes.
You get a Husky tattoo, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be it?
Because once you're...
Well, you don't have any tattoos, do you?
I don't.
No. Buck?
I have one small one on my chest.
Okay. What is it?
Is it... Are you going to
tell
us? How did I not know this, Ryan? I did not know this.
No, it's not something that'll make sense.
You've never seen him bare-chested?
I have... No.
You want to take
How
it off?
Do you guys consider yourself a morning show? All right.
He's good. I have four small Greek symbols on my chest for personal reasons. I lost a buddy that they meant something to.
Okay.
See, it's got good meaning.
Yeah, that's important. I don't have any tattoos myself. I always thought it would have to have a deep meaning like that.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think Dusty has something on his ankle. He's got some. I think it's a regrettable something. I'm just speaking for him. I think it's a Chinese symbol.
Yeah, I don't
of
know
some sorts.
I don't know if it's Chinese or if it's Japanese.
Japanese, one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something on there, and I think when you ask him, he goes, "It's a bad time."
I think it translates to "I win."
What?
I think.
Are you kidding me?
We'll have to confirm with
him.
We're
gonna tomorrow. Have to confirm with that tomorrow.
Okay, so. You have to get a sports tattoo. 55305. If you have a sports tattoo, I'd love to know what those are. Better You Today text line. Send us the sports tattoo that you've been dreaming of getting. What would yours be?
This texter says, Better You Today said, my full sleeve was about
face.
2 years, $7,600.
Woo!
Now, is that medium? Medium?
Is that an expensive
sleeve?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think, you know what, can I be a poo-pooer here?
You can do what you like.
I don't know if I would get a sports tattoo, but if I had to.
Yeah, you have to. That's the whole idea of the segment.
I think I might get my, I don't know if you go with your school logo, which is so lame.
It is. That to me is just lame.
Yeah, but it's better than the Cam Cleveland
get a W
Cleveland
on my shoulder or
silhouette.
Something. I don't know. It's got to be something meaningful, like my most sports
your number.
Dad. Not my number, like one of my favorite athletes of all time or something about that. I don't know if I would not get a brand of a logo of a team or something.
Yeah.
I would not do that. It'd have to be like a jersey of my favorite player of all time or
who's
something.
Who's your favorite player of all time?
Athlete-wise?
Yeah.
That's hard. I mean, my favorite basketball player of all time is Michael Jordan. I mean,
okay,
that's not
so
close.
Michael Jordan signs your bicep.
Yeah, no, I probably, if I
and
had to.
And then go and just get it inked on there?
Yeah, no, I could, yeah, I'd pull that off. Yeah, I could do that.
Well, Jumpman action?
No.
I
that's,
know,
again,
I know,
that's a
I
logo.
Know.
No.
I know. You know, so it's a good question. I could never see myself really getting a sports tattoo. I did have a friend who the year Oregon went to the national championship game against Auburn, he vowed after week one, I think Oregon beat, I think it was New Mexico. It was either New Mexico or New Mexico State, and it was like 81-0 or 77-3 or something like that. He's like, if we go 12-0 and win the national championship, I'm getting a Chip Kelly tattoo. Chip Kelly tattoo.
Jeez, that's the luckiest guy.
Everybody was ready to
win.
Hold him to it.
Yeah,
he was ready to be held to it, but alas. But I think if I were going to do one, I wouldn't think of a team logo as much as maybe like some sort of like Mount Rushmore portrait of Bay Area greats. Like
that's a good one.
You know, do
one.
Like
I
a like championship
that.
Winners, like a Steph Curry, Madison Bumgarner, Steve Young type thing.
Across
something like
your
that.
Shoulders. Oh, you go Steve Young over Montana because it's your era.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember the 49ers Steve
How
Young.
How dare you
Super
do that
Bowl.
With it? You put Steve Young ahead of Joe Montana?
No, I don't put him ahead, but that's what I remember.
I gotcha.
That
okay, it'd be yours.
Better you today.
They always go Jerry Rice. Don't have to have anyone worry about it.
Yeah.
Better you today text line. I get a full back tat of Cam with his rhinestone UW belly button ring.
None of that's true. That's awful. You like in Kingpin when you pull out the back tattoo?
Well, my favorite sports tattoos are always the guys that get the championship tattoo before the game.
The worst.
Yeah, Kentucky 2019 champions.
Or a Super Bowl insignia championship before you win the Super Bowl, or even a Super Bowl championship one.
Yeah, like you won it. If you won a Super Bowl and the whole team is going out and going,
well, I got a Super Bowl ring. What do I need a tattoo for?
I'm just asking your whole team. So you win the Super Bowl and Mark Bulger looks at you and goes, we're getting tattoos. Do you excuse yourself from that visit? Cam, me and you, we did this. He throws you the winning touchdown pass to win the Super Bowl, and he looks you in the eyes and goes, let's go get tattoos.
I think it was Jason
Terry. Do I get the Roman numerals? I do the Roman numerals.
Okay. And just get the Roman numerals, no Super Bowl logo on it.
No Super Bowl logo. I don't want the Lombardi trophy on there. But there's something that says maybe an SB, I was part of that or something, and I was going to do that. Is this true, Buck? Is this true? I got this on the Better You Today text line. Someone said, is Will Clark's number getting retired next year?
Yeah, that's correct.
So is that really? Because Will's my favorite baseball player.
They just had, this last weekend, they did the 30-year reunion of the NL champions from the 89 year, and they announced at that reunion that next year Will Clark's number is going to get retired.
Yeah. Now, Ken Griffey Jr. and Will Clark are right. They're head-to-head with each other. I mean, I'm going to lean towards Ken Griffey Jr., but... Boy, I love Will Clark. I mean, that's right there. They're hand in hand. I love Will the Thrill.
So, Luke, you talk about people calling their shots with like champions tattoos. Yeah. The year that the Dallas Mavericks beat the Miami Heat in the finals, earlier in that year, Jason Terry had a tattoo party, and everyone on the team came over to the house, and everybody got at least one small tattoo, and he called his shot, and he got a Larry O'Brien trophy before they'd won it.
Shut
that
the front door.
That is pretty sweet.
It's ballsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what mine would be. It would have to be some sort of sports accomplishment. So if I can go and win the cornhole championship at next year's camp out.
Taking it.
Yeah. Might have to get
the- you know, the other the variety of sports tattoo I don't mind is when somebody does the X's and O's play. I know after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, a lot of people got the Philly special diagrammed of like where Foles is going to go. And like basically the diagram of a play that's special.
You got
to
be kidding me on that one. Really?
Oh, I think that's good.
You would do that? You would do a play design?
Like Joe Montana and Dwight Clark the catch. Yeah, that'd be or Kenny
or
Wheaton,
a portrait of that catch. I would be that would be sweet. A Dwight Clark catching or something
like
that.
I'm into the X's and O's too.
Oh.
Yeah,
little diagram.
I don't know. I think you have to be part of the play.
I've told you this story. I had a
this is all hypothetical. I'd have to be part of all of it to get a sports tattoo.
Yes.
All right. I just very quickly. No, I've told you this before. I haven't told you.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Somebody hasn't heard it.
Somebody has not heard this, but they have heard this. I had a female in college that I was dating. She got my football number tattooed on her foot.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Why is that?
Because you don't do that.
She didn't get your name. Have to cross it out.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's just a number.
Didn't last long. Let's just put it that way when I saw the tattoo.
Well, what was your number?
85.
Yeah. 85 days.
Showed up to me in training camp. Said, look, we went and had a few drinks. And another girl's boyfriend did the same damn thing. Football player, his offensive tackle. She got 78. And we said, oh, I just might as well get this put on my foot.
Well, people make stupid decisions. How many tattoos are out there that people regret?
Oh, probably
woke up the next morning. I imagine.
Nice little eight ball on the forehand.
Middle and the back of the hand tattoo you got on a drunken blur. Well, if I'm getting a tattoo, I will tell you one thing. It's going to be, you know, a portrait of Ricky Fowler on my neck. That's going to be my sports tattoo. Mm. I don't know. All right. So when we get into hour two, we will get back into the CBA talks that we've been doing. We'll do that at some point. We've got a little more baseball news and notes, and we'll see where it goes. Hour three coming up. Dusty and Cam in the morning right here on the 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.